Welcome back, and this is the News Roundup on WCAI, when we discuss the top news stories of the week. I'm Sean Corcoran, and with me in our Woods Hole studio is Anne Brennan. She's the Assistant Managing Editor for Digital Media at the Cape Cod Times and Cape Cod Online. And joining us on the phone is Tim Wood. He's the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. Hello, Tim.
Good morning, Sean.
Tim, how did things go with the storm in the Chatham area?
It was pretty minimal impact as far as any emergency concerns were involved. There was no accidents, no power outages. You know, the roads were slick on Wednesday, but they are pretty good right now. And, you know, everybody was pretty much happy that they had a day off from school, I guess.
I know. I was out there recording some of the kids sledding and everything, and they were hoping they weren't going to have school the following day as well. But as you said, things got cleaned up pretty well. Mm-hmm. How about the Fontaine Medical Center? You have a story this week. They're going to be expanding into an urgent care center in Harwich. What's that about?
Correct. Fontaine is located in East Harwich, and it's going to get a $1.6 million makeover in the coming months, specifically to add urgent care to the roster of services that they now provide. It's a pretty busy healthcare hub. There's a C-lab there. There's outpatient facilities and for various health-related needs. The whole facility is owned by Cape Cod Healthcare. There's been a need on this part of the Cape for an urgent care facility for some time now. There's really nothing outside of Hyannis for people to go to in emergencies. And this renovation and expansion of Fontaine will help satisfy that need. There'll be physicians with emergency room experience staffing the new facility. Some services are going to be suspended or relocated to other healthcare, Cape Cod healthcare facilities while Fontaine is being renovated. And that work has actually already started. They just recently moved out some of the digital imaging facilities that they have and some of the less intensive operations. They're hoping to get the urgent care center open by May 5th, they say, and there's also going to be a new behavioral services center there, which will be opening at the end of May. So the whole thing should be done by June, according to Cape Cod Healthcare.
Would this be a 24-hour urgent care center?
That's not clear right now. I don't think so, but they haven't really provided any detail as to what hours they'd be operating.
Mm-hmm. Did they tell you about that behavioral center that you mentioned and what that would be handling?
Well, right now they do have a behavioral center, behavioral health center, and this will basically be upgrading that. The whole center is going to be modeled on a similar program operating in Sandwich at the Stoneman Outpatient Center, which I think opened last spring.
Right. Okay, well, as you say, I imagine this is great news if you're in that area because you don't want to be traveling to Hyannis in the event of an emergency. You need urgent care right away. So that
right, it certainly is. And you know, the whole, really for the whole outer and lower Cape area, the population here year-round has expanded a lot in the last few years, and something like this will be really, really welcome, I think.
Right, and expanded with older people who might need that care more often. And typically these days you don't want to get in an ambulance because the cost with that, if you don't have to.
If you don't have to, sure.
If you don't have to.
If you need an ambulance, call it.
Absolutely.
Towns are good about taking care of financial issues. But, yeah, if you can, if you break a bone or hurt a finger or something and you can get down to the Fontaine at East Harwich, get there quick, you know.
Let's talk about the skydiving situation in Chatham. We've been talking about this for a while. The FAA is taking a look at the issues raised with the skydiving operation at the Chatham Airport, and so they're going to handle this issue going forward, or how does that work?
Well, it's the details of that aren't quite clear yet. The FAA has stepped in at the request of the town to conduct, to schedule an air safety evaluation of skydiving at the Chatham Airport. They've even identified two parachute experts who will be coming down here in the spring to do that audit. Now, the Skydive Cape Cod, as we know, operates out of the Chatham Airport, and that's been a controversial operation for the past couple years. Residents raising concerns about safety, as well as the noise from the skydive planes and the skydivers plummeting down to earth here. At the request of the town manager, the FAA has scheduled this evaluation. Now, the question is, what is going to happen as far as Skydive Cape Cod's contract is concerned? A couple weeks ago, the Airport Commission approved a renewal of the contract. This was in direct contravention of a Board of Selectmen directive not to renew the contract, and the Selectmen weren't happy about that. The town manager has to sign off on that contract, and right now she says she's not going to do that. But the FAA is telling the town that they have to allow skydiving because it's an allowed activity at a general aviation airport, and especially since the town has accepted $6 million or more in federal airport improvement grants over the past decade. So the question right now is, does the town have to renew Skydive's contract before the spring, before the evaluation? Do they have to be operating when the evaluation is done, or is it just going to be a general evaluation of the safety of the airport in the area for skydiving? And right now, the town has posed that question to the FAA, and they don't have an answer to it. So there's sort of a holding pattern right now.
Have there been any documented safety violations that you're aware of? I'm thinking this is really about the noise that's being generated and the activity. Is this really about the safety issues?
Well, that's a good question. I just spoke to some of the critics just last week, and they were adamant that it's a safety issue.
Okay.
And not just the noise. The Skydive Cape Cod, their operation in Chatham has not had, other than there was a crash in 2012, one of their planes apparently ran out of fuel and landed in Lover's Lake, which is right near the airport. That the cause of that crash is still being disputed, whether it was something called carburetor icing or whether fuel ran out or a combination of the two. But last summer, the FAA and the State Aeronautics Commission sent inspectors down to do surveillance and surprise inspections of Skydive Cape Cod, and they found no safety violations.
Okay.
So Cape Cod Skydive say that their operation is safe. Residents say, we don't believe that, and that's where the issue lies right now.
Tim, great coverage. Appreciate it very much. Tim is the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
You're welcome. And joining us on the phone now is Sally Rose. She's the editor of the Provincetown Banner. Hello, Sally.
Hello, Sean.
How was the storm in Provincetown and the Truro Wellfleet, that area?
Well, it wasn't so bad.
No, it wasn't?
I mean, it was a lot of snow. There was probably about a foot to 14 inches. But there were no real problems, great problems to report. I think probably like everywhere else, it pretty well stopped things on Tuesday afternoon into Wednesday, and town halls were closed, meetings were canceled, most businesses were closed. There were no power outages, no pier damage, and by Thursday, they were back digging up the streets for new sewer connections. In fact, they're working outside my window right now.
Well, actually, that's a big deal in Provincetown. The whole sewer, you've had so many issues over the years with the sewer system.
Right, we have. They've been digging up the streets both for new sewer connections and also to fix water lines and then repaving over that. So there's been constant street work, for the past, 3 years.
You're right, and it's difficult work in this type of weather.
Right.
Let's talk about the Provincetown Art Association. And I'm really interested because this association has been so important to the history of the artists in Provincetown, and now they're reaching this landmark anniversary.
Right. This is a big one. It's their 100th anniversary, and they're doing this sort of year-long celebration. They started with an initial exhibition that covered from 1914 to 1939, there's a series of four shows. They're called PAM 100, A Century of Inspiration. And the show that's just going up now is part two, and it covers the artistic endeavors in Provincetown between 1940 and 1965. And as I said, this is the second in the series. The first show focused on Charles Hawthorne and his students. And this one focuses on the style of his successor, Hans Hoffmann. He taught or otherwise influenced all of the artists that are being shown in this show. Christine McCarthy, she's the executive director. She says that this stretch of time, this is the work that basically put Provincetown on the world map. The New York Times began regularly covering these shows. They were covering the conversations and the controversy about abstract expressionism, and then moving into the early 60s with pop art and stuff. So this show's going to hang through April 14th. April 13th, and then part three, which covers 1966 to 91, that runs from April 18th to July 20th, and then the fourth part is 1992 to 2014, that covers, and that runs July 25th through October 19th. Hmm. And then the Art Association is planning a centennial celebration in August of 2014.
What a great opportunity to learn about the history of Provincetown and how it's been able to sustain itself as an artist colony all these years since, you know, and you talk about Hoffman and Hawthorne, those, you know, great artists. And during those teen years of the 20th century, there was so much going on in that association, bringing the artists together and helping promote them. It's just remarkable.
Right. Right. They also have hanging in the smaller gallery is this really cool timeline exhibit that kind of gives context to the shows. And so it's really helpful in kind of figuring out who was doing what when.
Sally Rose is the editor of the Provincetown Banner. We're grateful to have you, Sally. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. In the Woods Hole studio with me is Anne Brennan of the Cape Cod Times and Cape Cod Online. Anne, one of the stories this week that we heard about has to do with a company that builds solar projects throughout the region, including here on the Cape and Islands. They've really been one of the main solar construction companies. Now we hear they're going out of business. What does that mean?
Well, this was something that happened last week, totally out of the blue, in terms of the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative, which is the entity that is working on about 20 megawatts of solar power in projects across Cape Cod and the islands.
And that's a number they've scaled down. It was going to be 50 megawatts over 44 locations. They've had to shrink that over time.
Right, because of concerns of roof structures for these solar panels. Some of the roofs weren't appropriately strong enough. There
right.
were clear-cutting concerns and other things. Are you going to cut yeah. down a whole field of trees to put solar when trees actually absorb carbon? So issues like that forced them to reduce the number of projects. But last week, Broadway Electrical Company, which did have the contract to do this work across the Cape, has decided to go out of business. And this really caught the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative folks and the people who are getting these projects done, like Dennis Yarmouth School District, for example.
Caught them totally by surprise.
Yeah.
They're under some time constraints to get their project done.
Well, they're all under time constraints because the goal is to get these solar projects up and running by June to meet the state's deadline for the program that offers an incentive for renewable energy certificates specifically for solar energy projects. And these certificates then are sold to companies whose emissions exceed standards. And so by combining a solar energy facility or project which has no emissions with a company that has too much emissions, it kind of dilutes the emissions of that company.
Okay, and they're offsetting their emissions with this no emission power
right
generation.
And that's essentially underwriting the cost of these projects because they're paying for these certificates.
Okay,
so just to make it more complicated, right? So Broadway Electrical is after 77 years, is going out of business. But the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative said that they had an agreement with Broadway that would allow them to transfer their this construction and these projects to another company out of New York, G&S Solar Installers, which also has their own financial entity with them.
So does anyone know if these projects will be done in time to make that deadline, or is that still unclear?
It's still a fluid situation.
Yeah.
As the CEO of the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative said, we're going to try and get as many of these projects done as possible. They're looking at it at this point. I guess work just stopped last week on the projects that Broadway was working on. Mm. So there's a lot of meetings and negotiations going on to get these people in the field to finish these projects, and they're still working on that.
Okay, so much hope in renewable energy, but so many issues surrounding getting it installed.
Right.
Mashpee Commons is moving to expand its housing stock, and Mashpee Commons is a mixed-use development in obviously the town of Mashpee. Lots of stores as well as rental units, typically on the second floor there. So the shopping center is about to see some expansion.
Right. Well, originally the plans called for an additional 382 housing units. But because of the recession, they've scaled that back. At least they're going to do it in smaller chunks. And they're going to move forward with 53 housing units. Most of it will be, retail in the bottom floor, apartment in the top floor. A certain percentage of these, of the 53, 13 will be affordable. And it's the owners of the Mashpee Commons said, in the post-recession world, it's very hard to get financing for speculation housing. So these units are already filled, and people have said they're, put their money down to live in them, and there's actually a waiting list. So once they get these built, they'll check what the market is and see if it's time to build more.
Well, certainly the region, the entire state needs affordable housing, and 13 of the 53 units will be affordable, as you said. So they come under this 40B designation, which lets the developer have a little bit more flexibility with zoning laws. I was interested, I didn't know this, but it says that the units that are going to be affordable will have more modest finishes in the interior, so they won't be exactly the same as the other units that are being constructed.
That's true. On the outside, everything will look identical, but on the inside, you'll probably notice some changes, like you said, more modest, maybe appliances and, other accoutrements.
I'm not sure what I think about that. Okay. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Joshua Balling of the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror. I understand there are some major capital projects on the island that are being explored, and we'll talk to Josh about those.